You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 21st of November 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting live today at RadioAlbion.com because we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from RussJournal.org. Matt, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you doing?
Oh, I guess I'm hanging in there. I always wondered if eyebrows would be considered facial hair, but no one's able to answer that question for me. But other than obsessing about that, I'm doing great.
That's a bizarre thing that you bring that up, actually. I think one of the most bizarre things that we see in modern times is these fake eyelashes that women wear that look like they have furry caterpillars on their eyes. And it can only be a matter of time before they start making hairy nostrils into a fashion item. I just don't get it, all these fashion things. I don't get a lot of what women do nowadays, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that today. We're going to be talking about these feminist professors and the domestic abuse grievance industry, and we're going to be talking about some landmark cases, actually, a particularly worrying one in Britain, but in America, an amazing case, actually, where a man was beaten to death by a woman, and the woman thought she was going to get let off because she claimed that she had been abused, and the prosecutor that managed to actually get her off, he's become a bit of a cause célèbre, and we're going to be talking mainly about him today. And I must admit, I hadn't actually heard of him before until you brought him up, Matt, this Juan Martinez. And apparently he's managed to defeat 5 attempts to have him removed, basically, from his office. I mean, this is a real crusading anti-feminist attorney that we have here. So let's get right to the beginning of this. Travis Victor Alexander, born July 28th, 1977, died June the 4th, 2008, was an American salesman who was murdered by his ex-girlfriend, Jody Ann Arias, born July the 9th, 1980, in his house in Mesa, Arizona. Arias was convicted of first-degree murder on May the 8th, 2013, and sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole on April 13th, 2015. Arias is serving a life sentence for killing Travis Alexander at his home in the Phoenix suburb of Mesa in 2008. Prosecutors said Arias killed Alexander in a jealous rage after learning he was planning a trip to Mexico with another woman. So why was it this woman thought she was going to get away with this, Matt? I mean, it seems pretty obvious here. She killed him in a jealous rage. So what went on in this trial? What is so important about it?
Well, this trial was front page news for a long time, up until 2013. And the significance here is that Juan Martinez is the top prosecutor in this country, in my opinion. When you see him in action, there's no lawyer like him. And because Arias's main excuse was that she was beaten by this guy, and therefore it's okay that she killed him, the defense had this laundry list of feminist psychologists and psychiatrists, all activists, claiming that she was an abuse victim and everything else. One of the founders of this movement, Alice Lavalette, was one of the expert witnesses. She actually worked for the State Department. She founded, this whole thing all over the country, including in Vietnam and Ireland and places like that. He tore her apart so bad that she claimed she had PTSD after being cross-examined by him. The broader point is, he not only delegitimized her testimony, but much of the feminist agenda was completely destroyed because he proved that this woman and advocates like her don't take the male point of view seriously, destroy men with false claims of abuse. They don't research their stuff. They're not experts. They're advocates. And when this happened and Arias was convicted, I said, Martinez is now in a lot of trouble because you're going after the feminist movement. You're going after federally funded so-called domestic abuse centers and they're one of their founders. And from there on in, they have thrown every conceivable kind of accusation against Martinez, hoping to get Arias, the conviction, reversed. And they've accused him of everything. And every time he defeats one of these, they come up with new ones over and over and over and over again. And I'm saying that the only reason they're doing this against this guy is because he destroyed an icon of the feminist movement and destroyed the credibility of the so-called anti-domestic violence part of the feminist movement.
Well, it is completely biased, isn't it? It's completely biased against men. There's an actual video of highlights of what went on in the courtroom, and I'll include a link in that with the article. And, you know, he shows that there is just total bias there. You know, this woman who is an advocate, who is supposed to be an expert, she's never taken a man's side in her life. She certainly wasn't looking at the man's side of this case. And looking for a picture to illustrate this, I came across lots of justice for, what was his name there? Justice for Travis pictures. So this was obviously a big thing at the time, and obviously his friends wanted to see justice, and the feminists just wanted to get this woman off, even though she had brutally murdered her ex-boyfriend. Well, an Arizona appellate court was deciding on Thursday whether to reverse the murder conviction of Jodi Arias after her attorneys argued that a prosecutor had mishandled her case by whipping up publicity. So this was this recent, was it, Matt? This was last Thursday, was it, when this happened?
Yeah, this is one of many things. They brought this up over and over again, and it's been knocked down over and over again. You know, all the things that they're claiming about him, and the ACLU is now financing the war against him, these have already been found to be unfounded. But whenever they don't get their way, they refile the charges under a slightly different guise. So this guy's going to be fighting this for the rest of his life.
Well, apparently, as you make out, I mean, he's managed to defeat five attempts so far. Corey Engel, a lawyer for Arias, told the Arizona Court of Appeals that prosecutor Juan Martinez improperly questioned witnesses, ignored rulings on evidence, courted publicity, and made an unfounded accusation that an expert on her defense team had an inappropriate relationship with Arias. Now, I've watched some of this YouTube, as I was saying, and basically he's a good prosecutor. I mean, he is asking this woman these questions. He's deliberately trying to appear angry to ask her whether that has any bearing on her assessment of him and the assessment that's going on. He's a very clever prosecutor, and the judge there, it was a female judge. So she's not, you know, she's going to have any bias. It's going to be for these feminists. It's not going to be against him. So I don't understand how they can say he improperly questioned witnesses. They didn't want to answer his questions. That was more the point, I think.
Yeah, the whole concept, when they're talking about improper questioning, they're specifically talking about her, going after her. And when you finish, you know, and I've never heard this about a prosecutor before, because in this case, it's essentially, you know, saying that domestic violence is so overwhelming and the evidence is so overwhelming that women can go and kill these men. The fact that there's no evidence only against Martinez, but no evidence that this Travis Alexander ever did anything to her. So if this stands, it means that the feminists are liars. It means that you can't use this excuse. It means that the domestic violence industry, which is federally funded, is now humiliated. And that's why they're destroying Martinez. That's why they're never going to leave him alone. And I don't know if I mentioned, but he's been reassigned to auto theft cases now. So they've had to take their number one prosecutor in capital cases and move him to something far less significant to satisfy these people. So far, there's zero evidence against him.
Was there any evidence that this Travis guy had actually abused this woman, or was the only evidence just coming from witness statements from the convicted murderer? Do you know?
The closest is name calling. And in another thing, one of these feminists that he questioned, they said, oh, yeah, he called her a slut and a whore. And of course, he said, well, was she? You know, it's not name calling if it's absolutely true. And it's one of the things that made this case so significant at the time is all of these X-rated details that came out. But that's the close. They never said, you know, he beat her or anything like that. It was mostly name calling. Although later on, Arias tried to make the claim that she was beaten by this guy with zero evidence. You know, they hardly even saw each other. But name calling is all they come up with.
Well, that's very similar to the left today, isn't it? You know, it seems to think that words are violence and words themselves are reason enough to go and attack somebody, and then you can call it self-defense. I mean, this is the logic behind all these milkshake attacks and the attacking Richard Spencer and attacking so many nationalists is, oh, it's self-defense because we don't like the words they say. And, you know, this feminist tried to get away with that for murder. Well, Juan Martinez, the prosecutor who famously represented Maricopa County, Arizona in the Jody Arias murder trial, was cleared of an ethics violation this week after a judge threw out a state bar complaint brought against him by other attorneys. A group of local defense attorneys, known as Arizona Attorneys for Criminal Justice, brought the case against Martinez with allegations of misconduct during the Arias case and others. Arias was convicted in 2013 after a high-profile trial for the 2008 death of her ex-boyfriend, Travis Alexander. It's an ex-boyfriend. It's not even like it was her boyfriend at the time when she killed him. I'm interested in this group of local defense attorneys. You know, what axe have they got to grind in this? Do you know, Matt, were they women? Are they lefties or what?
They have to be. Any elite legal organization has tried to force Arizona to take action against Martinez. I said the ACLU, but you have organization after organization, the Bar Association, everybody. Now, I've never heard of this happening before, that because the feminists were so humiliated in this case and she was convicted despite what they say, that they're just every elite organization is now saying, you know, and now they're saying we're going to destroy the prosecutor's department and his boss, unless you get rid of this guy. This is how fanatical they've become. I've never even heard of this in a case. And most of these things have already been removed, he's been cleared of them. The only reason that they're going after him with such viciousness is because what he did to the feminist movement and how he completely delegitimized their entire agenda. I don't even think he meant to do it. But in going after this Lavalette, that's exactly what happened. And I knew they were going to try to destroy him. And this keeps going and keeps going. And they're going to keep accusing him until they get the result they want.
Well, I should imagine he was a good prosecutor in whatever cases he was involved in. That's why he was the prosecutor. And he just didn't actually give this feminist any special treatment, which is what they demand. They do demand special treatment. That's what it means when they're a feminist. They demand special treatment. They say they just want to be treated like men, but they don't. They want to be treated as women, and then they want all the benefits that men have on top of that, even though men take all the risks. Men do all the work. Men are responsible for all the suicides. Men are like 100 times more likely to go to prison. They expect to have the doors held open for them, but at the same time, they also expect to be paid all the money while they're away from work pregnant or away from work sick and all the rest of it. They want their cake and they want to eat it too. And this feminist in the courtroom, it's quite obvious she wasn't expecting to be questioned in the way that she was. All she was expecting to do was to repeat what the murderer had actually told her. When she was asked, well, is there anything in these statements, in these journals, where the accused is critical of herself or says anything negative about herself, she couldn't remember anything. She couldn't say anything because all she had concentrated on was what this woman had said about her boyfriend, nothing actually about herself, which shows you just this 100% bias that was in there. So I mean, it must have been a fascinating trial to watch. And obviously, that's why there's clips of it still there on YouTube. Well, getting back to what's happening today, the attorneys filed the complaint in December 2015. And in September 2016, the attorney disciple discipline, sorry, probable cause committee of the Arizona Supreme Court issued an admonition against Martinez, saying that he should be placed on 1 year probation. Martinez didn't take the deal and asked for a hearing. Good thing for him that he did, because the panel of three judges ruled in his favour, dismissing the case after a day of testimony and less than 1 minute of deliberations. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? They're trying to force this deal onto him, saying that he's been found guilty, he's got a year's worth of probation, and yet he's got enough faith and belief in himself to say, no, I want a hearing. And then he wins the hearing. What happened? Give us some more details on this hearing, Matt.
Well, again, this is not the first time that they've had to throw this stuff out. They just slightly reword the same accusations and refile and refile and refile. And the hearing, they basically said, even if he's guilty of this stuff, it still doesn't rise to the point where we have to reverse the conviction. So, but again, the whole concept is that these are frivolous. These are just ways to destroy his career. You know, I've faced down these people before in my own situation. I know exactly what I know dozens of men who've had their lives destroyed by these people. And I know that lawyers are terrified of them. They're terrified of them. They're extremely powerful feminist groups in every county. In American law, you have to have a federally funded feminist group in every county to give lawyers and support to women who just want to get rid of their husbands. And occasionally, you know, there is actually legitimate violence, but overwhelmingly, and I've written on this and on all the domestic violence laws in America, how fraudulent they are and how overwhelmingly they're not supported by evidence. Again, this is one of the things that Martinez exposed, and the court even saying that, you know, we're starting to wonder if there's another agenda here. You know, why are we having to talk about these accusations over and over and over and over again? He must have pissed someone off very powerfully. And I'm starting to wonder if some of these groups are going to themselves get disciplined by their obsession with destroying this man, because now they're threatening the state as a whole, that if you don't get rid of this guy, we're going to go after you guys. So he has pissed off some very, very, very powerful people. And through my own experience in dealing with these people, lawyers are terrified of these feminist advocates who can manufacture and abuse accusations out of nowhere and destroy someone's reputation.
Well, it used to be that the man's witness testimony was worth more than the woman's, because how can you punish a woman? I mean, a testimony, you're putting your testicles on the line there. Women don't have them, and it would be uncivilized to punish a woman. So a woman couldn't testify in court. And now they're trying to say that a woman's word has more weight than a man's. I mean, if you actually look at the judgment there from that hearing, as you say, Matt, they point out that even if he's done these things, they're not enough for him to be barred. And there is evidence to show that he hasn't. And it just sort of says to him that, you know, in future, if you do invite two women back to the lawyer's room or whatever it is, then just make sure that you let people know about it, because they were trying to say, oh, because you let these two women in, they could have had access to the records, which of course they didn't. It's an interesting judgment, and it's very surprising to me actually that they found in his favor. And as you say, this is actually the fifth ethics case against Martinez to be dismissed since the Arias trial. He still has one more pending, in which he's accused of giving information about the Arias case to a blogger. So can you tell us a bit more about the others? Was it just repeating exactly the same accusations, do you know, or were they different routes of attack they chose?
Yeah, different routes of attack. Some that he courted too much publicity. Some says that he was a sexual abuser, that he's been accused of this stuff going back 30 years. And of course, that's true. You have some of these accusations, but there's never been any evidence for it. The only time anyone's ever cared about this stuff, that was all very minor, is after the Arias case. And that's the only reason that they're talking about it. If you go to the comments, either in Lavalette's book on Amazon.com or comments under the YouTube videos of him destroying this woman, overwhelmingly, they're saying, you know, he has humiliated these feminists, these social justice warriors, and that it's a totally fraudulent movement that this, you know, women are being, you know, tortured by men and it justifies everything they do. I've never seen such overwhelming support against feminism and this whole agenda than in the comment section under YouTube, all these YouTube videos. And you have women, you know, mocking these anti-domestic violence activists. I've never seen such an overwhelming response. And that's why these guys are going after him so harshly, because he's changing. This is a sea change in how people are viewing these feminist groups.
So they tried character assassination. I mean, if he's been abusive in the past, what bearing does that have on the case? It doesn't actually have any bearing on the case, I wouldn't have thought. I mean, that's in his own private life. Getting back to this article here, far more troubling, however, have been comments on blogs, Twitter and Facebook denigrating Ms. LaViolette for her looks, weight, age and speculated sexuality. As the comments increase, they extend to calls for her physical harm or even death. And of course, this is the expert, the feminist expert that was acting for trying to defend the accused. Entire Facebook accounts have been created for the sole purpose of publicly disparaging her and ending her career. She has been followed, photographed, and her restaurant dining reported. Twitter users have urged people to express their disgust at her and posted her phone number, leading to a barrage of harassing and threatening calls. More recently, a petition is circulating that, as of this writing, has over 5,000 signatures. It demands that Alice LaViolette should no longer be given the opportunity to speak at abuse seminars based on her testimony in the State versus Jodi Arias murder trial. Similarly, there are currently over 500 one-star reviews on Amazon that have been posted denigrating her book, It Could Happen to Anyone, Why Battered Women Stay. So even though this woman's been completely discredited by this trial, she is still putting herself forward as some kind of expert and still writing these books, Matt?
I was just on her site, and yeah, she still claims all of this. Claims that men really don't abuse women. I'm sorry, women don't abuse men. This is a male-dominated society, all this kind of thing. But the fact that they're going after this woman is tremendous. I don't know of any threats of violence, but she claims to have a heart condition now because of all this. This is an attack not on Alice LaViolette, but on the entire feminist movement. She's one of the founders of this whole domestic violence VAWA, you know, the man is always wrong kind of thing. She's one of the founders of this back in the early 80s, not just in America, but internationally. So this massive groundswell of hostility against this woman is not just against the woman, but against this entire agenda. And this is why no one's talking about this. Martinez did something, whether he meant to do it or not, he created this tidal wave against feminism and against their number one pillar, which is a domestic violence issue. And no one's talking about this except for us, because this is a massive sea change. You have women, you have even liberals coming out and saying, I think this movement, there's something wrong with this movement if this woman is one of its founders and leaders. And that's why the system is reacting so violently.
They always take it so personally, don't they? They always think, oh, they're just attacking me because I'm a woman. You know, these MPs over here in Britain are constantly saying that. No, people are criticising you because of the policies and the things that you're saying and the madness of it all, because it's anti-white and it's anti-male. And these people have no other way of getting their message across other than letting off steam in places like Twitter and Facebook. And, you know, when people send out death threats, obviously that's a stupid thing to do. But really, it's an expression of just how strongly people feel about these negative things that these feminists are doing. You know, I don't think they should be taken seriously. You know, I don't think people literally want to go out and kill these feminists. They may feel like that, but I don't think they're credible death threats. They're just a measure of how strongly people feel about it. And yet we're told as if everybody agrees with feminism. It's just the way everybody thinks now. And it's not. It's not the way everybody thinks. Getting back to this, one hinted at this today when bringing up her lack of a doctorate and questioning her educational background. but someone who thinks that stabbing someone to death and shooting them in the face is not greater domestic violence than calling someone a three-hole wonder is evidence enough of lack of qualifications. And there we have it. You know, they think that just being called a name is enough to, it's enough of a reason to actually kill someone. You know, this Arias will be sitting there in prison thinking that she's innocent, I'm sure.
You know, when the Violence Against Women Act was passed back in 94, VAWA, which, by the way, Joe Biden was one of its main sponsors, it was part of a much larger crime bill. So it wasn't really debated, and they never voted on that. It was snuck into a much – an omnibus, a huge reform of the crime system back in 94. So – and the feminists have said that if people had read this bill before voting on it, no one would ever voted on it, because it actually enshrines the notion that a man – and just in these cases, is presumed guilty, and the woman is absolutely presumed totally innocent, and you have to believe everything she says because they never lie about this, despite all the tremendous benefits that they get. So this is the foundation here. We all know men who have lost children, who've had marriages destroyed because of these feminists giving them free lawyers, telling them everything they do is wonderful, and this guy, and if you don't divorce him, you know, he's going to kill you. Any divorced man I know has been through this, and I've heard them. I've heard the horrible. I mean, families have been destroyed and kids have been taken away from fathers based on this. And this is the event, now a few years old, but still going on, that's finally mobilizing, men and anti-feminist women against these people, using the founder, Lavalette, as a lightning rod. Again, this is gigantic, and that's why no one's talking about it.
Well, it certainly seems to be having an effect on her. Someone also posted photos of Lavalette eating dinner with one of Arias's defense attorneys and posted the picture on Facebook. A friend of Lavalette's told the Republic that the defense witness went to the emergency room last weekend for anxiety attacks and palpitations. You know, what is a witness doing or an expert doing there with the defense attorney? I mean, you know, that's surely that is that breaks the rulings of the court, doesn't it, Matt?
That's exactly right. Everything that they're accusing Martinez of, these people have done during the case. But they do this in every case. And going after Lavalette, Martinez proved that these people, this is just feminism. This has nothing to do with actual evidence, has nothing to do with abuse. This is just a way to empower women against men. To the extent that now they're demanding that he be that she be released on the grounds that Martinez was this awful guy, but because as it stands now, this whole movement has been completely discredited, and going to the emergency room. You know, they say that for these women who claim abuse, oh, make sure you go to the hospital so you can get pictures. It can be all dramatic about it. I guarantee you, she's doing the exact same thing. I think she did all this just to produce sympathy or whatever. You know, this is what she's gone through is nothing compared to what she's put men through in the past, and people like her around the country. I guarantee you, there's really nothing wrong with her. But this is what happens when you go on, you know, not because they're televised, the courts are televised in Arizona. You go on national television and you actually get made a fool of. And this is kind of the lightning rod that's bringing all that anger together. The whole movement is in a shambles because of this. And if they don't destroy Martinez, it's going to stay that way.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that that's what's happening in America, because we've had a similar case over here in Britain, and it actually went the other way, which is a little bit of a depressing way to finish the podcast. But it is, you know, it's relevant news that we should talk about. Sally Challen and her husband had been married for 31 years. When she pulled a hammer from her handbag and hit him over the head 20 times in the kitchen of their Surrey home on the 14th of August, 2010. I mean, you would think that was just obvious. That's murder, isn't it? 20 times over the head. He was just sitting there innocently when she did that. Ms. Challen was able to appeal her conviction following a change in the law in 2015, which recognized psychological manipulation or coercive control as a form of domestic abuse and a crime. She was freed this year after the charge was dropped from murder to manslaughter. The victory marked the first time that the appeal court had considered coercive control to be a valid part of a murder defense case. The family say Richard Challen subjected his wife to decades of psychological abuse, which is referred to as coercive control under laws introduced in 2015. According to the campaign group Justice for Women, which supported her appeal, Challen said her husband bullied, humiliated, and repeatedly cheated on her, forbidding her from socializing without him, and he also controlled the couple's finances. So, and they're also saying that this means that more women are going to be allowed out of prison. So what is it? What is it saying there? He teased her, might have mocked her. It says he repeatedly cheated on her, and he forbade her from going out without him, and he expected to share the account. So that's all they needed to get this woman off. And the actual final part of this, Richard Challen was unfaithful throughout the marriage and frequently visited brothels. Why would somebody who is married go and visit brothels? Obviously because his wife was refusing to have sex with him. If his wife had had sex with him, he wouldn't have been going to visit brothels. Sally Challen moved out of the family home in 2009. So she had actually left the house. He had said, look, leave. But she was said to still be emotionally dependent on her husband. When she discovered he had contacted another woman, she hit him more than 20 times with a hammer. So he had actually left her. He had left her. She'd been gone for however many years, or she'd been gone for a year, and he told her that he was seeing another woman, and she beat him over the head with a hammer. And she's been let off, basically, from murder. That was moved down to manslaughter, and now she's been freed. And this group, Justice for Women, they say that there are lots more women in prison now that they're going to get out of prison. And basically, they're saying that if a bloke cheats on his girlfriend, that's reason enough for her to kill him. Or if he expects to share their finances when they're married. And looking more into this story, I mean, she says that she didn't realise that she was actually being abused until she contacted one of these feminist organisations. And they told her that she was being abused. So she was quite happy, this woman was, until she met up with a feminist, and then she ended up killing her husband. And now we've got this law change, which means that more women can get away with it. I'm sorry to finish the podcast on a downer like that, but you know it highlights how things are different between Britain and America, I think. Matt, do you want to just make a comment on that before we finish?
Yeah, in other words, it's none of that stuff against her husband was ever proven. He's not alive to defend himself. So if you kill your husband or boyfriend, all you got to do is claim that, oh, I was emotionally, he called me names, and you get away with it. That means it's open season on men, because none of these things, whether it be Travis Alexander or the other guy, none of that's ever been proven. These are just accusations. You don't even need to prove that kind of behavior. You just utter it. So it's open season on men. This is unbelievable.
They're not alive to actually defend themselves against those accusations. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Lampshade. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.